some time ago in January, I think it was about the 29th of January, that I gave a sermon, and we used, do you remember we used a DVD or a video of a guy, an Elam guy, used to be an Elam guy, apparently he's not, no longer in the ministry. And yeah, you got it, the fish goes swimming by. Do you remember that one? Who was here? I know those two was here. You probably wasn't here, so you won't know what I'm talking about. Was you here, Jean? You can't remember. You would have remembered, because, as I say, the fish goes swimming by. That was the whole idea of that, because people remember it. So you won't have a clue what we're talking about, but I'll remind you at the time when it comes. So in that beginning of that sermon, it was actually headed, what we are born to be. And now it's what we are born to be to. Born to fish. We're born to fish. And you know where I'm going with this. We looked at, first of all, we reminded ourselves of the Sunday to Sunday, there was a caption. You know that when Dean does the Sunday to Sundays, there's one here, there's always a little caption, a little caption on there that normally tells a little story and makes us laugh. God likes to laugh with us. God likes to have fun. He don't mind us having fun. We're Christians. We should be happy. We should be having fun. We're having fun now. Amen?
Amen.
You're having fun? You won't be saying that in another 40 minutes when I haven't finished. The faces suddenly grew. On the caption on this story, in January, there was a fishbowl. And I'm going to use this for years because I think it's brilliant. And there was two fish in there, two little goldfish or something. I mean, it's black and white, so we don't know what colour they were, but we presume they're goldfish. And they're playing, in this goldfish bowl, they're playing hide and seek. How on earth do you play hide and seek in a goldfish bowl? Anyway, one fish says to the other, "It's your turn to hide now." So that was the joke. And what I was saying was that we hide from God. Because we're through this year, we're doing discovering our destiny. And what I said was, how many of us are hiding from God because God has a destiny for us, but we're hiding? Not all of us, some of us. And maybe sometimes the ones that are saying, "I'm not hiding from God. I want everything that God's going to give me." But sometimes in your life, as you've been a Christian, however long that has been, sometimes, I bet you've been hiding. All of us do. Sometimes God says things to us and wants us to go down a certain road and we go, "Oh, I don't want to go down that road. That's scary. I can't do that." Got some news for you. We can't do any of it. When we see people come out the front of the church and they're really nervous and they speak, bless them because they're doing it. They're scared. I remember the very first time that I spoke at the front of a church, probably 18, 19 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. The very first time I did it. I think I stood up in a chair. I don't think I even got to the front. I just stood up and said what I felt God had laid in my heart. Do you know what? I was like that. I couldn't argue. You know when your mouth goes dry as a... I won't say what my son says, but he says he's got a little slogan that he says about having a dry mouth, and I won't go there. Probably not fitting for church. But your mouth goes dry, doesn't it? It's horrible. And you can hardly talk because your mouth's all sticking together. It's nerves. And you're shaking in your boots. Your voice is all trembling. Your brain goes to mush. You can't remember anything. Alice is thinking, "Yes, I know. I've been here." Let me give you a little bit of advice. It don't go away. It's always the same. Don't matter how many years you're in ministry. It never goes away. Yes, it gets easier, but it never goes away. Praise the Lord, I hope it never does. I've prayed so many times, "Lord, let me have no nerves. Let me just be flow." And yes, we do flow. But the nerves never go away because it's not us. If we was absolutely brilliant, I've heard someone say to me once, a preacher, I'm not going to name names because I'm being recorded and I wouldn't anyway. A preacher once said to me, "I'm a really good preacher. I'm great. I'm a good preacher. And I thought to myself, I didn't say anything to him. I thought to myself, in my mind, I heard this, oh dear. I want God to just keep filling me. I know I can't do any of it. And if I don't get on with this, we're never going to get there. But that is true. That is the truth. I know I'm incapable without him. So I want to read some scriptures, two scriptures to continue this, and I hope I can get through it. The first scripture I want to look at is John 21, 1 to 14, and I'm not sure if I cut it down or not. I may have done because I was trying to shorten some of it down a little bit. Let's have a look at what it says. We're going to read two. The other one's Mark 1, 16 to 20. Anyway, John 21, 1 to 14. Later Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and the two other disciples. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. Well, we'll come too, they said. So they went out to the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who it was. He called out, Fellows, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Then he said, Throw out the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some. So they did, and they caught, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were too many fish in it. Yeah, I did cut it down to six. Yeah, just one to six. Because there's another scripture to read that follows on from this. The next one is Mark 1, 16 to 20. And this one is headed, Four Fishermen Called as Disciples. And it says, And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further from there, he saw James and the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat, mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left then their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. You see, God has called us to fish, to be fishermen. In the story, Jesus could have gone out and done all the fishing for them in that first story, when he sent them back out and said, fish on the right hand. But he didn't. God could do so many things for us, but he chooses to use us. What did he say to them? Jesus said to them, throw the net out on the right hand side of the boat, and you'll get some. So they did. And we read, they couldn't haul in the fish. They struggled to pull them in, because there were so many. We all know that God builds his church, but he also calls us to do our part. He doesn't do it all. He could have pulled those fish, caught those fish for them, pulled them in for them, took them, and they could have had breakfast. If you carry on reading, they go and have breakfast on the beach. But he didn't. He sent them out to do it. God's God Almighty. He could do anything. But if he doesn't allow us to do, he's called us to do his work, to be lights for him on this world. If he does it all for us, where are we lights in the world? How are we doing? How are we stepping out? We've already spoken about being nervous and saying we can't do it. And we read that right the way through the Bible. Great names. Moses couldn't speak, didn't like speaking. So God gave him someone to do that part for him. We need God to do all these things. But he chooses to use us in our weakness. I have no doubt that Jesus could have caught all those fish. No doubt at all. But he used them. He taught them something, didn't he? Do you remember the video we watched? Well, some of you wasn't here, so you don't. Back in January, where the event, the guy who was speaking, he was talking about the big ship, Billy Graham. Because we all know the name Billy Graham. And he was using the emphasis as the big evangelist comes in and catches the fish for the churches. The big fish, the big boat, Billy Graham, comes sailing in, throws out the net and hauls in all the fish. That's an analogy, we're talking about people. But should we wait for the big names in evangelism that God uses? There's hundreds of them, isn't there? That go out and preach in churches, evangelists who preach the word of God and thousands of people get saved. Should we sit in our church and wait for the big evangelist to come along to catch the people, to fill our church with people who God uses and God builds his church? What happens if the big evangelist doesn't come and doesn't catch all the fish and bring them into the church? The fish, come on, the fish go swimming by. I know as well as you do, and I spoke to so many people recently, and so many people, because of this church being small, and people come in, I was talking to Alice about it last week, I speak to David about it all the time, and I constantly hear the same echo. Don't worry, God builds his church. And the next person that says that to me, I'm going to hit them with my Bible. We know that. That is so true. And I know that. It is correct. God builds his church. We know that. So why did Jesus say to Simon and his brother Andrew, follow me and I will make you fishers of men? If God builds his church, then we can all come in here, we can all sit down, we can all have a lovely little sing-song together, and we can all go home after praising God and lifting his name and taking communion and thank him for what he's done. And then we can all go home and put our roast dinner on or whatever you have on a Sunday afternoon. And then we can all meet again at the next meeting or next Sunday morning. And there will still be the same amount of people in here. That isn't strictly true. Because 21 years ago this year, I got saved. And it was because a Christian who'd only been a Christian about a year, you've heard me tell the story, don't fear, I'm not going to tell the story again. Someone prayed for us, myself and my family. And you don't very often get someone come into the church, just walk straight off the street, cold, never been to church before, don't believe in God. It does happen, but not very often. Walk into a church and get saved. That's what happened to us. Because someone prayed for us. Now, if that person hadn't have prayed for us, would I be here? I don't know. I'll ask God one day when I meet him. I don't know. So it does happen. But we are called to be fishers of men. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have said to those two people in this story that happened, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. You see, the Bible says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Because we believe. But I must say, 21 years ago, the message of God, it was rubbish to me. I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe in anything in the Bible. Not that I'd ever read one. Because it was foolishness to me. If I had it done, I would have thought, what a load of rubbish. It needed the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to fall on me. And I came in a church, cold, not knowing why I was there. I won't go into the story. Most of you have heard, Alice hasn't. How I got saved. What happened to me in my front room when the Holy Spirit touched me. And I wondered what on earth was going on. God opened my eyes and I went to that church. And then my family went. It continues, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many of you, according to the flesh, not many of you, not many mighty, not many of you noble, are called. Are we noble? Are we wise? Are we great, strong leaders of this country? No, we're just normal people who now know God. But God chose the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And God chose the weak things of this world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Amen. That's 1 Corinthians 1, 18, 19, 25 to 27 in the New King James. We are not to be mighty and noble. We are not that way inclined. Oh, we are not mighty. We are not noble. We are not powerful. But God uses these things, these weak people like us. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Let me tell you a little story. We're probably not going to finish this. I have shared some of that, and it's a bit embarrassing, but I'm going to do it anyway because it glorifies God. When God first called me, some of you know, when I first come here, or when I was first at my very first church in Westcliff, the first time I stood at the front of a church and I felt the call of God and I started leading services and preaching, I struggled to read. Why on earth would God call someone to lead a church or to preach or to lead in worship when they struggle to read? I could read to myself, but standing at the front of a church and reading in public has never been my forte. I'm not brilliant at it, but I get through. I'm about 300 times better than I was. So you can imagine what it was like. Standing at the front of the church, I'm not sure it might be in this Bible, I've had it a long time, and opening the Bible, the verse that God gave me, and trying to read it, and stumbling, and falling, and tripping myself up. And do you remember what we said earlier about your tongue going dry, and your mouth going dry, and shaking in your boots? Imagine if you feel like that anyway, but you're also feeling the eyes of the people drilling holes in you. In your mind, you're thinking, they're thinking, get off, you idiot. You're making a fool of yourself. Until I felt God say to me, after doing this several times, that what you're doing for me is giving me glory. And that lifted me. And I continued. Otherwise, I'd have given up. Because you feel such a fool. So when you feel a fool standing out the front of a church or being asked to do something that you can't do, it gives God glory. Amen? And you do get better. And it does get easier. But you go through that mud we talked about in the beginning of the service. That mud where it's hard to walk through. And as you go through that mud, and as you struggle and say to yourself, I can't do this, this isn't for me, keep going, because it gives God glory. And if you give up, then you're throwing away the calling that God has given you. And everything that he has given you is for a purpose. And all the struggles you go through is for a reason and a purpose. None of us have it easy. Those that can come out and quote the Bible from memory, we can all do that to a certain point, but some ministers are so blessed. They have such brilliant memories, or they've been saved for 30 or 40 years and they've been reading the Bible since they were children, and it goes in and they just quote scriptures, full scriptures, one after another. And you think, how on earth can they do that? Some of us are made that way and some of us aren't, and I'm not. I need God's word to remind me. Some of them obviously stick, but some people can do that. It gives God glory when we struggle. And he is always there for us. I can say, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:9, for I am the least of all apostles. I know and you know. Who are we? We're God's helpers, God's workers, God's foot soldiers. Paul says, in fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted the church. I can hold my hand up to that. Jan's not here, but Jean knows. And you've heard me say this so many times. Jane's sister Jan, who's now at home recovering from an illness, used to be my next door neighbour. I wasn't a Christian and my family wasn't the Christians. None of us was. Jan, I want to get your names knotted up. Jan was a Christian. Now, we were only very young at the time when we first moved into the house. We're still living there now. I used to stand up on a 6-foot fence there. I used to stand on a chair and talk to Jan, and my wife did, over the fence in the summer. And I used to take the mickey out of her because she was a Christian. So like Paul, I can hold my hand up and quite in my heart, and I can say, I don't deserve it because I persecuted the Christians, the church. Jan used to just laugh at me. When we got saved, Jan wasn't living there by that time, and we went round to the flat that she was living. We knocked on the door. We'd been there before. She opened the door and said, hello, come in. Put the kettle on, like she used to, and probably still does. Well, she does when I go round to see her. And we said, Jan, we've got something to tell you. I've become a Christian. Or we said, we've become Christians. She nearly fell over. God has ways of working on people, doesn't he? God is working on all of us. He called us, he chose us, and he's still working with us. And he hasn't finished with us yet. There's a wonderful verse in Romans that says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You're all preachers, fishers of men or women. Lost my place. And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's it. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. In the book of Hebrews 12:1-2, we are told to run the race. Yes, run the race. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, whom for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We are called to run the race. The Bible is the most amazing book. But what is it really? And why have we been given it? We know that it contains instructions and guidance. And 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us all about that. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching what is true and to make us realise what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us what we are doing wrong. Puts us right. But let's face it, the Bible is more than just a book for correction and teaching. We have been given the Bible so that God can have a one-to-one with us, have a chat with us through his word. We have been given the Bible so that God can tell us all about himself. Let's face it, without the Bible, would we know that how the earth was made? Only by what the science men tell us, and they're wrong. The earth was made, the stars were made, the cosmos was made because God put it together. The whole earth we are on now was made by God. We were put on this earth, made from the dust of the ground, all because of God. Would we know that without his word? We wouldn't. We couldn't. The Bible is like a time machine. It tells us how the world was formed, how we come here, how we broke that perfect world. We broke it, and it needed fixing. If Jesus hadn't have come, what we celebrated earlier, if he hadn't have come, if God the Father hadn't have sent his only begotten Son for us, the world would still be broken, wouldn't it? We can now come to the throne room of God because of Jesus. It's being fixed. The Bible also contains the promises of God. Putting it in a nutshell, the Bible is God talking to us through his written word. In Galatians 1:10-12 is headed, Paul's message comes from Christ. Paul says, obviously I'm not trying to win over the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Sometimes when we preach the word and say things to people, they don't like it. I know I didn't the first time my friend told me that I needed to get saved. He didn't put it in a very nice manner. He just come straight out with it and told me. And it continues, dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received my message from no human source and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ himself. And each one of us have met with Jesus somehow, and we become born again Christians by direct revelation from God. Listen to this. This was the advice that Paul gave to the church of Philippi in Philippians 2:12-16. And it's headed, be light bearers. This is what Paul said and also says to us today. And I think we're going to have to wrap it up on this one. And maybe we'll finish this off another day. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then, on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain, and that my work was not useless. That's what Paul said to the church of Philippi. So today, to finish off here, yeah, we might be able to finish. I'm here to remind you that God's word says what God's word says. We're not here to sit and repair our nets. We're here to go out and catch fish for men. We're here to show God's love. We're here to shine like lights for God. James 1:22 says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. And in that's the NLT, in the NIV, it says it like this. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Remember what Jesus said right in the very beginning, the first scripture we read, or the second one actually. Follow me, go, and I will show you how to fish for men. So as far as I can see, our destiny is to follow Jesus all the days of our life and be shining lights for him. And when we are fearful, remember the words that God spoke to Joshua in Joshua 1:5-9. I'll read this one, then we'll finish. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Wonderful words. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. For us, that is the Bible, because we're no longer under the law. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law, the Bible, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I have commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What powerful words. Loads of things there that we could pick up on, but we haven't got time. The three times Joshua is told by God to be strong and of good courage. This is also for us today. If we follow Jesus and his word, we will be also prosperous. You can take that how you want. It don't mean your bank's going to be full of money. Prosperous in him. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will also be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. Amen. Amen.